Blog Talk Radio.
You are fake news.
Word. Word. And you know what? Since they fake news, it's my job to kill that mess. I'm a fake news killer, man. That's right. And so before we get into it, I just want to welcome everybody to the show. Tonight is Wednesday, February something or jigger, maybe the 9th. I don't know. It's just another day in paradise. Welcome, everybody. I see all of you typing and chiming in and letting me know you in the house, the his house, all over the place. South Carolina. Oh, yeah, man. I love to see y'all. I love to read the chat. So I love every night when I do a live show, I go back and I read all the comments. And unfortunately, when they're live comments, I can't respond to them later on. But I do try to read them all. And y'all make me chuckle, man. I'm telling you, y'all be having... You know I don't like to get sensitive, but I'm just saying. Y'all touch my heart. So I enjoy reading your comments. So make sure you leave those. And other than that, man, we need to get busy. All right? Because time is of the essence. But I can't get busy without getting busy. We got a dummy in here too. Yeah, tonight we got to listen to a dummy for a quick second. See, we got to make sure we remind ourselves of how dumb this man is. See, not just him, but also those that were deceived by the man we about to listen to. He embodies dumbness. He's the essence of dumbness. That's right. He's a dumbologist. This man right here has a PhD in dumbness. Yeah. There is no dumbness that does not flow from this man. And I'm talking about you know who. Creepy, sleepy, sleazy, slimy, sloppy. Just a friendly reminder of who's running our country.
If Russia invades, that means tanks or troops crossing the border of Ukraine. There will be no longer a Nord Stream 2. We will bring an end to it.
But how will you do that?
Now see, there you go, asking Joe how you do stuff. You know Joe don't know how to do nothing. You know Joe don't know. Joe right about now got up there with that and one get we was about the North thing. Now, do you think Putin watching that feels like he needs to be shaking in his bones? No, he's probably watching that like that dude has a hard time getting that sentence out. Let alone calling himself on shut down the Nord Stream pipeline. It shouldn't have been open in the first place. Shouldn't have been accessible to anybody except us. That's it. But, you know, he got in there shutting stuff down. And now you got to go ahead and try to reverse that garbage if Putin feels froggy enough to jump. But let's listen to his one strategy, see, because he was not ready for that lady to ask a follow-up question. So let's see his brilliant response.
We will, I promise you, we'll be able to do it.
There you go. See, if you ever want to know how Joe is going to do something, don't ask him for no details. Listen to me. I promise you, we're going to do it. Next question. Just like you promised us, you will go into Afghanistan and get all of those American citizens out. And now we find out that there's like 9,000 of them left. Mm-hmm. Just like you promised us that you wouldn't try to abolish the filibuster. You wouldn't try to pack the courts. You promised us all kind of stuff. You promised us that you wouldn't force folks to get the you-know-what. Yeah, you promised us a whole bunch of stuff, Joe. And none of that crap panned out. You're a liar. And I tell it to you to your face. If they call me right now, sir, you have an invite to the White House. Yes, I'd love to come. Yeah, I would be coming for bad intentions. I wouldn't get in there feeling like I'm honored to be in the presence of royalty. No, I would be like, I'm honored to be able to sit here and tell you to your face, you're a liar. This is a privilege for me. I just want to let you know. I feel blessed to be right here in this position to look you in the eye, Creepy, and tell you, you're a liar. Now, here's more from Creepy Sleepy, too.
Let me give you one example. A few weeks ago, the CEO of Intel, Pat Gelsinger, you've heard me say all along when I was running and says of God,
those remixes. Did y'all hear that man scratching? Running it. What was that? That man sound like Scooby. Uh-oh, Shaggy. You got to be kidding me. So, granted, that was cute. Somebody who put that little clip together, you know, they threw the double ups. But see, we all know that Joe had some problems on those R's, you know. So here's Joe trying to give some speech about his America Build Back Better program, and he got caught up on those R's, you know. And so he just turned it into a cut. That's all he did. I like that last hit, though.
The world's at an inflection point. 2 weeks ago, I went to Pittsburgh, where the Union Pacific Railroad announced the largest purchase of American-made electric battery locomotives in history. And just like we heard last week when Boeing announced $20 billion bill.
Whoa, somebody go out there and find me one of those. A $20 billion bill. Boy, this is our president. Can you believe it? Did you ever sit back and think we would be sitting here like, I'm telling you, this is one of the moments. One of those moments, guys. Oh, man. I hate to do it. You don't know me. I'm going into the voter protection, witness protection program. That's right. Got my Red Baron hat on. Time for me to fly the coop. Oh, man. I'm about to get into my one pilot, my one propeller plane and take off, man. Yeah, go to an island somewhere and just live it out there. And people come find me later on. Aren't you the one that defected from the U.S. during the time that everybody became stupid and put this guy in somehow? No, I don't know that man. Okay, so now we got Joe sitting up here talking about $1 billion bills. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think that's a part of our currency. I'm pretty sure it isn't. And if there's a $1 billion bill out there somewhere floating around, let me know. I mean, I could be wrong. I could be wrong. So let's hear more about this $1 billion bill.
And just like we heard last week when Boeing announced $20 billion deal.
This current president, Joe Biden, you want to talk about binary choices. You want this? If you did not support Trump in 2020, you supported this guy. And so behold the great, dignified, mature, responsible president that you helped to elect.
I don't want to get going because I keep you here too long because you know all what I'm about to, what I've said, and you know what I've done, and you know what we're doing, and you know what I know what you're doing.
Yes. Franklin Roosevelt very famously said, we have nothing to fear but fear itself.
Yeah.
And Ronald Reagan famously said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure we will be reciting this for many years to come.
Okay.
Joe Biden famously said, play it again.
I don't want to get going because I keep you here too long because you know all what I'm about to, what I've said, and you know what I've done, and you know what we're doing, and you know what I know what you're doing.
Was he doing an Abbott and Costello bit? I know that you know that you know that I know. You got to be kidding me. This man got up there and said... Michael might repeat it so we can understand it a little clearer. Here we go.
I don't want to get going because you know and hear what I said, but we know all that you know and I know and you know and I know what you're doing. After now 2 full years of being called conspiracy theorists and murderers for opposing the stupid face mask.
Now, wait a minute. Michael just switched topics on us. So, first things first, we just listened to Creepy, Sleepy, Sleazy, Slimy, Sloppy Joe get out there and drop out a statement that sounded like his brain just completely went haywire. Completely. That brain was throwing thoughts, words, all type of stuff around, phrases in his head, just throwing it out there, just like Scrabble pieces, just throw it out there, Joe, you put it together. I'm done with you, Joe. I'm done with you. We told you not to do this, but you wouldn't listen to us, so figure it out. Well, I wouldn't. You know that I know the I was got that down and say, hey, you know, hey, so it's just like this. I have no idea what that man's talking about, neither does he. He's a concern. That's all I'm saying. Along with being an embarrassment and completely dumb. Now, I know one might be thinking, Kev, wait a minute. You can't really say he's dumb considering he's obviously suffering from some mental decline. No, his dumbness just didn't start in regards to him starting to decline mentally. That dumbness goes back a long way. That's built-in dumbness, man. That is grinded in dumbness. You knew it when Obama said, hey, don't underestimate Joe Biden's ability to screw things up. He was on to something. Now, Michael Knowles is on to something, too, because guess what, y'all? Apparently, all of this stuff about the COVID, the mask and stuff, they're starting to change it. I don't understand. I thought that masks save lives. I thought that it was just paramount that folks put these things on their face. You're saving lives by just throwing it on your face. So let's hear the new updated version of what we're supposed to be doing today because it changes all.
After now 2 full years of being called conspiracy theorists and murderers for opposing the stupid face masks, yeah, conservatives and normal people everywhere are being vindicated as even prominent liberal public health figures are coming out against mask mandates.
Y'all hear that? That's right. We're being vindicated. But you know what? Sad part, it don't even matter. Because dummies will be dummies. See, the thing is, we know that we were right. We know we are right. We know these folks was abusing their power, but the dummies don't. You'll find throughout tonight, there are folks that even though this is an obvious effort by the Democrats to pull back these mandates, knowing that they're going into 2022's midterm elections, these folks will not even catch that. You know, they will think it's being done because of the science. They will think Joe Biden's being progressive and he's rolling these back so that we can, I'm saying, you don't see the game. You don't understand the timing where they're all now starting to say, yeah, let's ease up on these mandates and these masks and all of that stuff. You don't find that somewhat suspicious? Do you think after those midterm elections, if they have some success, you don't think they're going to roll that back out? They're going to ease up just like they did over the summer. All right, give them a little break. All right, and then stick it to them when the winter comes. They'll ease up and bring that mess back. And Michael's going to expose it. Here we go.
CNN's medical expert, Liana Wu, explains why it is so important to ditch the mask mandates as soon as possible.
Wait a minute. Is this the same Asian lady that was on CNN telling us that we shouldn't even be able to travel through the whole country? All right, it ain't no privilege to be going state to state. Is this the same lady who was up there talking about we need to take away, you know, all of their choices and give them more of an incentive to get that shot? And now she's saying that we need to roll back on the mask. Now, is it genuine or could it be a sub-motive? Here we go.
You say we can start removing at least some coronavirus restrictions. Now, tell us why.
Yeah.
Well, I agree with Colorado, with many other local and state jurisdictions that are beginning to lift government mandates. And I think this is the key. I'm not saying that we should be stopping masking, but rather that this needs to shift from a government requirement to an individual decision.
No, we want masks. We want masks. More masks. See, I want her to beg for us to take them off. That's right. I want her to be like, please, oh, take those masks. No. More masks, because that will continue to make all these Democrats' ratings drop down. I want them to tap out and confess that we've been playing games. I don't want them tapping out, actually. I want to break it. I want to put them in some type of rear-naked choke until they go to sleep and eyes roll up in their head. That's what I want. I want to hit them with an ankle pick if you don't know nothing about it. Boom, shoot in on that leg. Grab that ankle. And before you can tap out, I want to go, oh, my bad. Yeah, I got a little carried away. I ain't know if he was tapping or not. And I heard this, but, you know. So here they are now trying to roll it back.
The government can't keep on telling our citizens that this is a five-alarm fire all the time.
Really? They can't do that? Since when did all of this change, man? They've been telling us this, y'all, for 5 years. I mean, 2 years, rather. And the sad part is that whole network's been doing it. That whole, including her. That's the crazy part. She's a part of all of that hysteria. These are the people who've been saying folks that don't get the shot is a danger to society. And now here she is talking about the government can't continue to. Now, I wonder why she had a change of heart. Let's hear her motive.
People are just going to start tuning it out and not pay attention. They'll be desensitized. And so what needs to happen is we need to end the state of emergency.
Wait a minute. If it's a real emergency, who cares if people are tuning out and becoming desensitized? If it's a real emergency, we wouldn't have tuned out and became desensitized. So what are you talking about, Asian lady? If it was a real emergency, you wouldn't have to give us an incentive to go and get that shot and take away our privileges and freedoms and ability to travel. If it was a real emergency, you best believe Kev would have jumped in that man Jeep, drug old man Teddy and the dogs, right down to the first place to save my life. Bust in the door. I don't care if kids and old folks is in front of me. Get out. Get out the way. Move. I need to get a shot. Move, please. Get out the way. Get out the way. Just give me the shot. Dang on it. Let me tie it off. Okay. And I would have did it myself if it was a real emergency. So now what you're telling me, forget the pandemic. Forget the emergency. That's not important. What's important now is that people don't tune it out. Well, you can't tune out an emergency. I want that to sink in for a second. See, think about this guy. Right now, if there was a hurricane or a tornado, something like that blowing outside my crib, and all I'm hearing is beep, 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 warning, 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 get to shelter. And I'm sitting here like, I don't see what the problem is, okay? I don't hear nothing. I wouldn't be able to tune that out. I would be immediately going, let me get down to the basement. I don't care if people say, hey, look, man, don't keep telling Kev that there's a typhoon outside his door. He'll tune it out. Well, guess what? My inability to tune it out would come from the actual emergency outside the window. That's what it would come from. But yet now all of a sudden, this emergency is optional. Yeah. Tune that message. We don't want y'all tuning it out. So stop telling them what they think. They're becoming desensitized to it.
And preserve the ability of public health authorities to reinstitute mandates in the future if we see more and more dangerous variants later.
There you go. So we can bring this mess back shortly. See, so now here she is talking about so people will believe you in the future when we have some more stuff we make up and call emergencies. Now, what's so funny, but you know I like my analogies. You know I like my analogies. When we was playing in Miami, when I was playing at Miami, one of my good buddies, he was playing fullback. And so he's running the ball. The defensive back comes up to hit him. He runs the dude over, and as the guy's falling backwards, his leg gets caught under his body. And you heard a crack, and that fibula or whatever that thing is shot straight out of that skin. Now, my boy took the turn, looked at him, threw the ball, and ran. He got up, looked, threw the ball. That's how bad it was and how bad it looked. Threw the ball and ran off, yeah, like a dog was chasing him or something. And all of those folks ran out there, and they was trying to hold this dude down and all of that. Do you think that guy got desensitized to that pain? Do you think he was out there, oh, you know what, after 5 minutes, I won't even be focused on this. Yep, I'll become desensitized to this emergency. I'll become desensitized to all of this pain shooting up my leg. Yep, do you think that he would get sick and tired of hearing those folks say, stay still. We got to stabilize this. We don't want to lose your leg, do we? We got to get you. No, that guy would be focused on that emergency until the emergency was taken care of. But now this lady is trying to tell us that somehow we can become desensitized to a real emergency. Just like that guy would become, what, desensitized to his leg being cracked, bones shooting out? Ah, don't worry about it. I'll walk it off on the one leg that I have, the one good leg. So now here she is saying, we got to preserve the ability to manipulate folks again in the future. So if you over-manipulate them, then they won't listen the next time. Here we go.
Now, if Wu wants to preserve the credibility of public health gurus, I think she's probably about 18 to 24 months too late for that one. But did you catch the reasoning there?
No.
She's saying that we need to end the mask mandates, not to preserve the public health,
not to do that,
but to preserve the authority of the public health officials.
What?
She's making not a scientific or a medical argument, but a political one. If the ruling class doesn't lighten up on the masks soon, she fears, okay, no one will listen to them on the masks or anything else in the future. Mm-hmm. And she's right. It is pure politics, as some of us were saying from day one. You know I hate to say I told you so. I'm Michael Knowles. This is the Michael Knowles Show.
What's up,
the
Mike? What's up, Mike, man? So that is true. All she was doing, see, and these are these Democrats, man, these liberals, their motives. You always have to, it's never what they say initially. Check the submodel. People have to stop and say, okay, I heard what you said. I saw what you did. But what's your motive? What is your true motive for doing something? We all know these Democrats and globalists don't care about us. They're not really focused on the safety, security, the ability to prosper, all of that. They're not focused on that. So it's always another motive. And if you stop for a second and think and kind of look around and say, wait, what's going on in the world? What's going on in politics? What they did to might screw things up? What is their opinion about these folks right about now? How are they trying to control narratives? How are they adjusting and adapting? These are all things if you are a broad thinker. You start putting all these pieces together to deduce what could they possibly really be up to? And in this case, it only takes a second. Popularity dropping, people becoming desensitized and mad. Around the world, other countries are dropping this garbage. Folk up in Canada upset. Elections coming up. What do we need to do? Change this mess up. Now, before we go into the rest of what Michael's talking about, I see a caller in the queue with their hand up. So let's see what's happening. I think I might even recognize this number. Let's see if I'm right. Caller, you're live on the air with Kevin and Kevin's Corner. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, Kev. What's up? It's Ryan, man.
I knew it. What's happening, Ryan, man? How you feel, brother?
I'm doing good, man. Watching you, taking some time off from work. Man, you know, at the beginning, you talking about Joe, man. You know you got to speak Joe Biden to understand Joe, man. It's like, pop, 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 pop. You know, in your video, watched the little 11-minute video the other day. But, want to tell you something that happened to me a couple of days ago. I took my mom to the Verizon store, and, you know, some places here in Virginia, they still got places, businesses that will say, oh, we want you to wear a mask. So I just to be courteous, you know, I follow the rules. I was in the Navy. I was in the military. You follow the rules, whatever. So, you know, I grabbed the mask out of my glove compartment and I put it on. I didn't realize the mask was it was my Let's Go Brandon mask. So I put it on, go in the store. My mom sees it. She's like, why are you wearing that mask? And I said, Mom, what do you mean? She's like, that mask, it says, Let's Go Brandon. And you know it means F Joe Biden, don't you? And I said, you know what that means, Mom? And so why do you think I'm wearing it then? And she said, why, because you don't like Joe Biden? Because you're a Trumplican now, aren't you? And I wanted to say, yeah, Mom. I said, Mom, honestly, I honestly didn't care. I didn't even realize it was a Let's Go Brandon. I just grabbed the mask out the glove compartment.
Right.
So then I got a call later that night from my dad, angry call from my dad, telling me, you know, you made your mom, you thought we're Democrats, and you made your mom look bad, and da 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 da. And I said, Dad, you can't honestly tell me that you agree with everything that Joe Biden has done. And he called me. He says, No, I don't agree with everything any presidents have done. He's like, but he goes into a whole explanation how Joe is better than, you know, better than Trump. And I said, Dad, I mean, honestly, how is he better than Trump? We have seen nothing but more deaths, more gas prices rising, more inflation. I went into a whole list of everything that Joe's right. done well. And, and it's just, it gets me how people can still, I love my parents. I love them to death, but I just don't understand how the bubbleheads can just still like him. I mean, I don't get that.
I don't get it.
It makes no sense. It just, like you said, you can't make sense out of nonsense sometimes, I guess, man, but it just doesn't get, it just, you, it's like, man, like, I mean, Trump didn't do everything right, but he did more right than any president I've seen in recent history and since I've been alive. I mean, the man got nominated twice for two Nobel Peace Prizes, and he didn't get it even once. Yet they give Obama the Nobel Peace Prize for what? Nothing, right?
For nothing. Yeah. Yep. For nothing. Unbelievable. And see, here's the funny part about that, Ryan. I wonder if your mom would have preferred you not to wear a mask than to wear a Let's Go Brandon mask. You know, so
I thought the same thing.
Right. Like, okay, I can take it off and go in with no mask. I mean, you know, so I think what has happened here, and this is kind of a recurring theme. Even my father, he goes in and out sometimes of his cognitive stability. And today, yeah. You know, we were talking, having a conversation, and I showed him the heading of the Biden administration offering crack pipes to inner city. And, you know, no ability to explain that, to justify it, just change topic. Just like, well, you know what, we ain't going to all be here anyway. And, you know, and I'm going, see, you're trying to shift responsibility away from being a responsible, informed voter. You know, when you see something that there's no way in the world you can get behind, you can support, you can justify. And so then you just kind of default to, well, God knows everything and it's in his hands now. And I'm going, but wait a minute. He also gives us the ability to make good choices, to be, you know, folks that take care of what God has blessed us with. And America is something God has blessed us with. And folks that claim that they love God, they love America, they love their country. The difference between Trump and the difference between the Biden administration is the heart. Now, I know we can't see into everybody's heart, but when you start looking at how Trump approached being the president, how he set out to protect us, to defend our country, to bring back pride in the country, to make sure everybody was treated equal, to protect religious freedoms, his heart was in the right place. When you look at Joe, this guy gets in and he does everything opposite of what Trump did. So even some of the mistakes or miscalculations Trump might have made is tolerable because the heart is different. Joe and the Democrats come across as evil, vindictive, manipulative, all of that. Trump, literally, they painted him to have an evil heart. But his actions, and if you ever listen to him completely, you'll find that that man was extremely kind. I used to sit back, man, and I would send people clips of Trump and all the things he's done way before he got in politics. All these black folks that was out there, Trump's a racist, man, Trump's a Ku Klux Klan member. When I sent them that clip of Judge Joe Brown talking about how Trump would give to black businessmen, back in the day when white companies and white banks wouldn't loan to them. And then when they would come to repay it, he would just say, go run your business. Don't worry about it. Your debt's forgiven. Have Joe ever done that? Have any Democrats ever done that? See, this is my point. Trump would do those things, and you would bring that to people's attention, and somehow they couldn't enter that into their calculation of saying, well, I've been bonded to this man, being a full-blown racist. He's a type, told me, contradicts that. But I'd rather hang on to my narrative that's been downloaded into my head than to make pure sense of what you just told me. Why would a racist do that? No political motive. None of that. So you got folks that are going to be just what they are, man, and it's sad. My father's one of them, you know. Yeah. Every once in a while, he fluctuates. But especially when you get into parents and things like that, biggest problem I had with my dad, even before he got sick, was him being able to accept something that's truth from his son. It was just one of those things. He was like, you know
yeah.
what? Son, I'm your dad. I'm right, even if I'm wrong. So a lot
yeah,
of...
Yeah, you know, and that's like, too, Kev, I mean, to interrupt you, but real quick, because I don't want to hold your whole show up, but I told my dad asked me, last thing he asked me before he hung up, and he said, can you really name to me one thing that is Joe Biden's fault? And you can't say it's the gas prices. You can't say da-da-da. So I thought about it for a second. It didn't even take me that long. I said, Dad, Afghanistan. He said, well, explain that. And I said, well, when Trump wanted to get out of Afghanistan, and he had a plan in place. He said he was going to wait until the fighting season was over, till they were
right.
all, till the Taliban was all in their caves, and he was
right.
going to use Bagram Air Force Base to withdraw. Whoa, lo and behold, what did Joe Biden do? He got in office, and he said, no, we're not going to wait for the fighting season. Let's
nope.
pull out now. So
yep.
he goes, and he pulls, and he doesn't even use Bagram. He abandons Bagram, lets all those prisoners escape, and then now
yep.
we find out those prisoners, one of them is the one that blew up. It wasn't a complex attack. It was one guy that blew up and killed all those Afghan citizens and all those 13 Americans. So I said, Dad,
yep.
those 13 Americans' blood is on Joe Biden's hands, because his generals, his liberal generals, told him to not do that. They told him to stick with the plan that they had in place already, and he didn't listen. That was Joe Biden's
yep.
fault. And
yep.
my dad, to his credit, he said, yeah, that is true. That's Joe Biden's fault. But it just gets to me that you even then he would still all over
fight.
Again go and vote Biden in, because he thinks, oh, because Trump is orange man bad. It's just programmed into him when they watch the mainstream media. It's just programmed
right.
into him.
Yep. Well, man, Ryan, all we can do is keep trying. And those that will listen, will listen. Those that won't. Good thing about family, though. You love them in spite of. One of the
I know,
like
I know. And God bless you, Kev, and God bless your
yep.
dad. I hope he has some good days ahead.
I appreciate it, man. God bless, Ryan. Talk to you soon. Always a pleasure. That's my friend, y'all. I love when he calls. It's great to see a young man just develop like that and approach this systematically, rational. I mean, when I sit back and listen to some of the people, the younger ones especially, and it's even worse when you get folks my age and, you know, above, and I'm saying, when does wisdom kick in? When does the ability to sift through and synthesize information kick in and put pieces together? Because folks will go down fighting, man, knowing they're getting beat up with the facts, knowing they get beat up with all of this garbage that Joe's doing. Can't defend none of it, but they out there still swinging still. I never forget this dude in our neighborhood named Charlie. He was a big white dude, and he got into a fight with another big white dude, but Charlie was kind of special. You know, so him and Joey got into a tussle, man, and Charlie was getting the business. Charlie got hit and got spun around on him, y'all. Charlie didn't stop fighting. Charlie developed the Charlie technique. That man was swinging backwards like this. Charlie was getting hit in the back. He could have just tapped out, could have laid down, but he was still swinging backwards. Yeah, we were like, Charlie, just quit. That technique's not working. You're not going to hit anybody. You're not going to connect with the Charlie technique. That doesn't work. There's no power behind those punches. But he went down with that. He's trying to swing him around. Same thing with these folks. You come out, show them all kind of stuff. But. There's no but. All the stuff we're going to cover tonight, you got to be a but to bring a but to this conversation. Now let's continue. All right, here's Michael Knowles, y'all.
Asks are now and have always been primarily a political symbol.
What?
Whatever medical or scientific utility or lack of utility that they ever had, that was always secondary to the masks as a political symbol.
No.
And now the liberals who are telling us to get rid of the mask mandates,
yeah.
the very same liberals who encouraged the mask mandates for a very long time,
yeah.
they are making arguments to get rid of them on political grounds. The Democrat governor of New Jersey, Phil Murphy, just went on Jake Tapper's show on CNN And he said, we're going to get rid of the mask mandates in schools. And Jake Tapper gave him a layup. This was such an easy question.
Layup?
This should have been a slam dunk. He said, what is the scientific argument for the mask mandates and for now for getting rid of them? Just we follow the science. Tell me the science, Governor of New Jersey.
And this should be funny because, see, understand, Democrats, they don't care about the science. They don't even know the science. They're the dumbest party ever. We all know. We've all been there. We've all watched them get on TV and say and do the dumbest stuff ever. I should do like a home video of things. We done all got there and watched Mad Max. And you know what? Down there in Crimea, we've all watched Federico. We've all watched Hank Johnson. We've all watched Nancy Pelosi. We've all watched these dumb Dems get out there and embarrass themselves, not know the facts, come out. We need to get rid of all kinds of guns. That AR-22. They don't know details. They just know agenda. All they know is, you know what, we want to get rid of guns. Give me a quick brief clip note to go out there, some argument I could bring up, but no one challenges them. So now, when you actually ask them about the science, they're like, we didn't plan to know that. They just told us to stop folks from doing what they want to do, abuse our power, and control them. And if they ask you any questions, just defer, deflect, just get emotional. What, you ask me questions? You must want to see people die, all of that. But now he's on a liberal network, and he's not expecting the follow-up question. So now, let's see how he explains it.
And Phil Murphy falls silent.
There's no question that masking in our schools since the beginning of the school year has been a very smart public health step. I think we've had just over 2,600 cases of students with COVID positive since the beginning of the school year. That's out of 1.4 million kids. So it's a pretty stark piece of evidence, I think, that this has absolutely worked. But you got to meet the moment.
How so? See, here's my point. He gave us raggedy numbers out there, right? Now understand, guys, this is where the argument breaks down. Y'all ready? Y'all ready for me to break this down? Lot of dummies falling down. So now this man gets out here and said, it's absolutely worked, but you got to meet the moment. Y'all didn't want to meet the moment when our economy was being destroyed. You didn't want to meet the moment when folks were losing their jobs. You didn't want to meet the moment when people's parents were dying in elderly homes and in hospitals, but they couldn't go visit them. You didn't want to meet that moment when Black Lives Matter and Antifa was running around protesting on y'all behalf and y'all excused it. You didn't want to meet that moment when all these workers said, look, man, I don't want to be forced to do something. So I'm just going to go ahead. Y'all have to fire me. I'm going to quit my job. Didn't want to meet the moment. You didn't want to meet that moment then, but now he wants to meet the moment. But here's my question. If it was working, it's not about the moment, is it? It's not about people's opinions because it wasn't about our opinions before. It wasn't about our anger before. It wasn't about our disdain or questions, all of that. It wasn't about any of that before. He was not trying to meet no moments. None of them were. It was straight up laying down the law for lives. We're protecting you because you're too dumb and ignorant to know better. But now he's meeting a moment. Now, how can he justify that? So you're going to put kids' lives at risk just to meet them? If it was working, so what if you don't like it? It's saving lives. That's what we were told before. But now, they're meeting the moment.
You try always to not undershoot the moment and put lives at risk or overshoot the moment and add more stress and mental health challenges to the system. And we think this plan of a month notice is going to get that as right as we can.
Yeah, but have you seen data that definitively proves that these mask mandates have worked? The numbers you just presented are impressive, but are they different from the numbers in states where they didn't have mask mandates?
Yeah, again, I know Jersey Jake the best, but I'm highly confident, and I'm sure our health officials could say it definitively. There's no question they've worked.
Here you go, y'all. You think I knew that stuff? How dare you, Jake Crapper, ask me something like that? I came on this show for propaganda. You want us to get unvoted. That's what you want us unvoted. That's what you want. So now he gets on there. He doesn't have any comparisons. He doesn't even say, you know what? It probably would be smart for me to actually look at the science and see the results of, say, Florida or some of these other states versus ours. And he definitely was not ready for Jake Crapper to ask that follow-up question. And he had no response. Guys, yeah, I'm pretty sure it worked. Confident, I'm pretty sure the fake co-opted CDC will back me up or whatever stuff that I tell them to. And that's pretty much it. Thanks, Jake Crapper.
Yeah, Jake, I don't have any numbers in front of me, and I don't know anything about anything, but I'm confident that they worked. So they worked really, really well, and now we're going to do the opposite policy, which is also going to work just as well. Yeah. Kudos to Jake Dapper here for at least kind of pushing back. It was an easy question, so the New Jersey governor should have had an answer to it, but he doesn't have an answer because he doesn't have any proof that the mask mandates in schools did anything whatsoever.
Of course. That's the whole thing with all these Democrats. And you know what's crazy about it? Even your funky Fauci's and all of them, they get out there and they throw this crap out there. They don't want any alternative narratives, studies, any of that stuff. Hey, you know what, Dr. Fauci, have you looked into natural immunity? You know what, I haven't seen that study. You know, I might look into it. What? We're 2 years in and you're telling me that you haven't looked into natural immunity? I remember when this crap first hit, you were talking about herd immunity. You were talking about folks that get it, great, spread that mess around the community, you'll develop herd immunity. And all of a sudden, I haven't seen that study. What changed? See, so here this guy is talking about stuff worked and nothing to compare it to. Huh. Now remember, guys, we're 2 years into this. They tried masks, couldn't stop this mess. Tried vaccinations, forced, couldn't stop this mess. Tried manipulating us, locking us down. At some point, you just say, it looks like it's here to stay. So now we got to make some adjustments and live with this mess. But no, it's a form of control for them.
Doesn't have any proof at all. It was political. The masks were very useful to the Democrats who wanted to reshape our culture and our economy and our politics for the past 2 years of 15 days to slow the spread. And now they're getting some diminishing returns on this. They're getting a ton of pushback, especially from parents, which is why you're seeing the mask mandates go away from schools in particular first. And they're saying, okay, politically, we can't keep this up anymore. Liana Wu has said the same thing. Dr. Fauci has made similar statements. Yes. When Dr. Fauci has been caught in contradictions on his views on public health measures, he says, well, you know, we get this, there's a limit to what we can have people do. Right, so it's political.
Oh.
So it's not scientific. Okay.
Now, Michael, I would like to just believe you and your opinion, but I might need a second opinion from Pete, whatever his last name is, from Fox, because he has a take on it too. So could it be that the Democrats are trying to relieve all of these lockdowns and all of these mandates for political gain? Could they really be that evil, guys? And this is why they're able to stay in business, because it's hard to believe that these folks that people consciously went and voted for would be evil enough to put your kids in masks unnecessarily. It's hard to make sense of that. But once you see it, you can't unsee it. It's hard for folks to really believe that they would allow a you-know-what to go on in our country just to get Trump out. They would be willing to destroy all the lives, our economy, everything to get that man out of office. They would allow China, because they know that mess didn't come out of no dang-on animal shop. They know that mess was, you know what, our last option. Should we creepy, sleepy, sleazy, slimy, sloppy send that virus away? Yes. So my point is, it's hard to just imagine that they would do it. That's why they're able to get away with this. It causes one to have to forsake the basic nature of their humanity, which is, I like to see the good in everybody. I want to give you the benefit of the doubt. You dress nice. You get on TV and you talk about love and the kids and unity and all of that mess. Surely you wouldn't have done this knowing that it would kill all of these Americans and folks all around the world. Surely you wouldn't do that. But they have. So let's continue, because here Pete is coming in too.
Okay. Give it to me about the hypocrisy of the left saying all our kids and all our citizens should wear masks, but they themselves don't wear masks.
What? Yeah, I mean, Sean, it's cartoonish at this point. The only person remotely vulnerable to COVID in that classroom with Stacey Abrams was Stacey Abrams.
The clown show. Uh-oh. My YouTube disconnected. It says reconnecting. Let me see. Let me find out what's going on here and get us back up to speed. Turn the whiskey on. Y'all back? YouTube, you back? Okay. So I was buffering. I'm on the network now. I switched over to, you know, my Wi-Fi. Now, real quick. So y'all hear that? Pete calls out Stacey Gap Between the Teeth Abrams, the governor of Georgia. So now she's in the classroom with that big old gap. Probably had a couple kids smuggled in between that gap. Up there smiling, showing us all that gap. No mask, nothing, but we're in a pandemic. No mask, but those snotty nose kids got to have one, right? They're dangerous to my life because I'm important. So mask them up so I don't have to put one on because I want everybody to see this gap between my teeth. Uh-huh. She got that gap band going on right there. So now let's see, since she was probably the one that was the most dangerous in the room. Let's see Pete's take on some other things.
All the reasons that go unstated at this moment, yet the kids are masked and she's not, right? That's how they view the world, because it's not really about science. Or take Eric Garcetti, for example, out in Los Angeles,
yes,
who said, I took my mask off, but I didn't breathe. I didn't breathe.
Now, God, I was talking about that last night during my live show. That right there got to be up there with Nancy Pelosi and her excuses. That one, it's got to be up there in the top, like, five excuses of the most critical Democrats of all time. Nasty's probably still number one. Listen, the only thing I'm guilty of is being set up. They should be apologizing to me. That right there takes the cake. She was pretty bold with that one and confident, got mad. You know, we've had some bad ones. Number two, I'm going to have to give it to the Raphael Sadiq. Yeah, man, that one was classic too. Look, man, have you heard Raphael Sadiq? Have you? No? Okay, see, then you wouldn't understand. Okay, when that mess came up, I want to dance tonight. What you want me to do? It's greater than me. Had to get up, take my mask off, and get my boogie on. But this one is classic, man. This man said, I held my breath. Well, let's see how Pete is interpreting that man's excuse.
Like, the amount of arrogance you have to make that type of statement shows precisely what kind of leader you are.
Absolutely.
You want to lead your state, you believe masks should come off, then have the courage to take on your own party and say, the science doesn't justify masking kids,
but
their time to come off. And here's the sad part, Sean. In New Jersey, Connecticut, I know these governors are now saying we're going to remove masks. Fine, great, good. But ultimately, it has nothing to do with science and everything to do with the fact that there's a midterm election coming on, and Joe Biden and House members and Senate members who are running need to make it look like we're going back to normal. So now they're going to take the masks off the kids. It's so disheartening.
It is disheartening, Pete. And I'm going to tell you something else. Let me see. I'm switching back off the witch card. So it is disheartening, Pete. And, you know, this is no different than how they step back and watch our cities burn for a whole summer. Didn't address the crime issue. Was talking about abolishing police, demonizing police. And it wasn't until it started appearing to hurt them politically that Joe Biden finally came out and said something passively about it. See, notice nothing they do is for the good of us. It's all for the good of themselves. They would have let that crime go on for years if it wouldn't have started to appear to hurt Joe Biden's chances of getting elected. Same thing with this. You're naive if you think that they're trying to pull back on these mandates because they see our personal choices. They respect them. They respect our personal freedoms. They don't even respect our intelligence. For this man to come out there and tell folks he didn't have his mask on because he held his breath, the ability to do that is astounding, man. That dude assumes every dumb folk watching him would not even go, what did he just say? That was unbelievable, man. I had to chuckle when he said that. I was like, that's funny, man.
And it's hypocritical.
The governor in a Democrat state almost lost re-election, so I think he sees that the voters don't like all these mandates. But I want to get your take on this, because in Northern Virginia, as you and I are fighting to get our kids out of masks, in Northern Virginia, where the governor there said, listen, I'm going to give parents the choice. You can choose to put your child in a mask, or you can choose to not mask them. In Northern Virginia, the parents are fighting to keep all the kids in masks. I think they only watch CNN, MSNBC, and listen to Fauci. There's a crazy dichotomy between parents who say unmask and Northern Virginia and other parents who are saying mask up.
Well, Sean, you know this. If you watch another network or you're watching other channels, your fear index is still pegged. You didn't get the memo of the Johns Hopkins report that talk about natural immunity. You didn't get the memo because it's not reported upon.
That little raggedy scientist / doctor, the Asian lady we just listened to a few minutes ago, talking about we got to roll back these mask mandates so folks won't listen to us anymore. She knew about those Johns Hopkins studies. She knew about all of that. They didn't show that on CNN. She didn't go out there and talk about. How about Gupta? Huh? Dr. Gupta on CNN. He's not out there talking about all of those studies that might hurt their narrative. No. Those folks bury those studies. And guess who else helps them do it? Big Tech. Don't you get on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, talking about some, did you see the Johns Hopkins study? Man, forget them. They're idiots. They don't know what they're doing. They're unprofessional. They're unreliable sources. The only reliable source is Dr. Fauci and the CDC. So now, all of those parents out there, which I just really don't believe it's a whole bunch of them, the Democrats are masters of motivating and ginning up fake outrage and concern. They like to, get the people, come here, man, would you go in there and act like you're mad, okay, about your kid being forced to, kids in your room with your kid without them, even though your kid could have a mask on, but you don't want to, have another kid around your kid without a mask, even though the mask is to protect your kid. But see, act like you're mad. Act like that kid's potentially putting your child in danger. Same thing with the everybody mad. And I'm saying, did you get it? Yeah, then shut up. Don't you be coming to me talking about, you need to get it too. For what? You got it. Did you put that? Why don't you put that on? You got yours on. That's why. I don't need to put mine on. So it's my choice, right? Now all of a sudden they're respecting our choices. So Pete, expound upon why these parents might be manipulated.
Lockdowns didn't work. You didn't get the memo that cloth masks aren't effective. You didn't get any of those memos because they don't report on any of that because it doesn't feed the fear complex. So as a result, you get parents that are still afraid, which is true, and they want to vaccinate down to 6 months old if they can. But you also have parents that are in the pockets of teachers' unions. Oh, I mean, a lot of these parents are also teachers themselves. A lot of them are wedded to the Democratic machine. Mm. And so to think all of this is organic is to be, I think, a bit naive. Mm, There's a lot of political opposition here to Youngkin, who's doing something that's popular for most people in Virginia. And, oh, by the way, if you love masks so much, you can still wear 3. And you can still make your 6-year-old wear 4 if you want. It's an optional.
Yeah, but see, that's the whole point of the Democrats. They don't want you to have options, man. Real tyrants take away those things, but yet Trump was a tyrant. I'll be damned. I don't even see how a doctor that swears to protect life could inject a 6-month-old with this stuff. You're the worst doctor in the world if you do that. Most raggediest doctor ever to inject a 6-month-old with something like that. And the parent, no, I'd be even madder at the parent. And right about now, I'm worried about moving forward in our country, because with these tyrannical leaders right here, you almost got to, as soon as they cut the umbilical cord, like, wait, don't you go nowhere with my baby. Don't clean them up. I don't want you to sponge it off. Keep it right here. I want to see what you're doing. Yeah. See, we don't know what these folks up to in the next couple of years. Oh, we're just going to take the baby over here. No, there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
See, you got to worry about these folks now. And so he hit it right on the head. These people, unfortunately, either have been brainwashed or they're actually trying to create and gin up a lot of concern because they finally got a good governor that respects folks' choices, and they don't like that. So now, guys, it's time to jump into one of my favorite things to do, expose rhinos. Time to go hunt for rhinos, y'all. Hold on. Where did I? Oh, I can't. You know what? I used to be able to bring my gun on the show and Yeah, I got pushed back. You can't have a gun showing on there. Okay, so cool. So I'll just use.
Okay, yeah,
here we go.
Be very quiet. I'm hunting rhinos.
Uh-huh. It's time to go hunting some rhinos. Starting off with Donald J. Trump exposing those rhinos.
Saturday at the rally, you talked about the potential, if it's appropriate, of pardoning some of the January 6ers.
Yeah.
Lindsey Graham said a couple days later he thinks that's inappropriate. What do you think?
Well, Lindsey Graham's wrong. I mean, Lindsey's a nice guy, but he's a rhino. Lindsey's wrong. Look, they tried to burn down Washington. We're talking federal buildings. They were terrible. Every Democrat city was on fire, and nobody says anything about it. Antifa and BLM were causing such problems, including death. Don't forget, with the exception of one young, fine woman, nobody died on January 6th. Nobody died on January 6th. They like to say five people, but nobody died on January 6th.
Nobody was intentionally killed.
The one person who died was Ashley Babbitt. She was killed by a ruthless man that never should have used his gun to shoot her.
Now, see, this is exactly why they hate Trump. What that man just did, you know, you understand how refreshing it is to hear somebody say, keep it real. You know how refreshing it is to have a leader. When you're asked a question that you know the liberal media is going to say, what? He just said that Lindsey Graham was wrong for mentioning pardoning some of these folks and this insurrection. You know they will take that mess and run with it. This man just said Lindsey Graham is wrong. Nice guy, but he's a rhino. That's why he's genuine. That's why people trust him. That's why people's willing to vote for him. Because he kept it 100. He didn't try to package that statement up. He didn't try to make it seem like I'm going to straddle that fence with this. Lindsey Graham is wrong. This isn't a debate. I'm not sitting back saying, well, I mean, I can see where he's coming from. No. Not only was Lindsey Graham wrong, but now he's giving a contrary narrative to why Lindsey Graham is wrong. When you sit back and you listen to all of the things that Lindsey Graham should have been whining about and crying about and getting upset and condemning. And then he is talking about something on J6. Let's continue.
She was killed.
And he's a hero to the left.
A hero.
That cop is a hero.
I think it's a disgrace. And in fact, they wanted to shield him, but he couldn't get on television fast enough. Mm-hmm. I saw his interview.
Mm-hmm.
And he thinks it was great that he shot her and killed her. And she didn't have a gun. She didn't have anything. There was no reason to do that. It's a disgrace. But she was the person that died. And they don't treat, they're not treating these people the same way. You don't see with all of the killing and all of the fires and all of the burning, including the federal buildings, they tried to burn down the courthouses. I stopped them in Minnesota, in Minneapolis. We sent in the National Guard.
Trump is the GOAT, man. He's the greatest of all time. I'm telling you right now. That's right. Introducing the greatest of all times. This man just straight got out there like, look, man, these folks was killing folks, looting, burning stuff, burning down federal buildings. I'm not even going to get up here and try to argue about what took place on J6. It's wrong. They're mistreating these people. They're politicizing this. They're abusing their power. They're abusing people's rights to fair trial. You should see what they did to Brandon Straka. It's too long for me to even go over that tonight. I'm going to have to do a standalone with that. So all of this stuff that these evil people, which Lindsey knows that these Democrats are evil. If he doesn't, then that must mean he's evil too. He's just able to hide his evilness a little better, which will put him in the category of a what?
Rhino.
That's what it would be. You don't side with evil folks. You don't give them an inch. You don't justify their evilness. You don't give them a leg to stand on. You don't allow them to politicize situations like that. You don't give them a sound bite so that they can go out there talking about, well, even Lindsey Graham supports us and condemns. That's why you know he's a rhino. See? So now, finish Trump. breaking this mess down.
I'm not even supposed to be doing that. That's supposed to be up to the Democrat governor. These are all Democrat-run areas. But with all of that, you don't see anybody going to jail and being treated like these people. These people are being treated horribly. I would absolutely, because some of them are being treated very unfairly. Yeah, I would absolutely give them a pardon
the punishments
if things
are
don't work out fairly.
Punishments are out of proportion to the crime.
Out of proportion, like 20 times out of proportion. These people are being persecuted. And the other ones, when they caught people, killed people, and they want to give them the minimum sentence. They're out there fighting for a minimum sentence. No, it's a very unfair situation. Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and
gotta love. Do you know how dangerous it is politically for you to call out Black Lives Matter? It's a whole bunch of raggedy Republicans out there that would tiptoe all around these subjects and topics. This man was like, look, man, I don't care if you're black. I don't care if it's a black organization. They're evil. They're violent. They're Marxists. See, that's why they hate black folks that hate Black Lives Matter, too. Because we call that mess out. It's hard for them to defend Black Lives Matter if other black people are saying, I would never even associate myself with that Marxist group of people who steal money, who done got rich, who've abused the simpleness of people's hearts, all of that. And Trump gets right out there and calls them all out, including that raggedy cop that shot Ashley Babbitt. Unbelievable.
These radical left people, I mean, you have the vice president trying to bail everybody out of jail, but they weren't in jail very long. It was pretty easy to do.
Trump.
And getting Trump. The bail was very easy. These Trump. People are in jail in a horrible, disgusting, dirty jail, so bad that the court system, which is very left, is angry that people have to live like this. And some of these people are not guilty. Many of these people are not guilty. What they've done to these, and in many cases, patriots, their soldiers, their policemen, what they've done to them compared to what they've done to the other side, you know, you have to have equal justice, and this isn't equal. So I would absolutely be prepared, and Lindsey Graham doesn't know what the hell he's talking about if he says that, because you have to have equal justice. It's very, very unfair what's happened to this group of people.
That's why you gotta love him, man. Trump, everybody said Trump, yeah. Some of the side, but they can't lie on him. No, you can't, man. That dude got out there and said, Lindsey Graham's wrong. And I'm gonna tell you why. If you're trying to be fair, if you're trying to be wise as a leader, all you got to do is say, wait a minute, let me move aside all the propaganda. How many of these folks have been jailed without even being able to go to trial yet? Been sitting up in there just chilling. Does things normally work like that? I'm just wondering. So compared to all of these folks who've wreaked havoc for over a year or so, to the people who I watch, like Brandon Straka the other night on Mark Levin's show, when he went over the details of how they forced him into a confession, made him do a plea deal, broke him, coming after him, making sure they cut off his money, making sure they drain his money. These are the most vicious, diabolical people because they don't just use a corrupt court system or a corrupt DOJ or the corrupt FBI. Then they go one step further. They use the corrupt media to go after all your sources of income. They don't want you to ever be able to resurface, ever. It's not just good enough to knock you out. They want to stump you to death. So then it's like, okay, even though he did a plea deal, the man's on house arrest, how did he get money again? Let's go after every company that allows him to generate a living. Let's do that. Let's go after, when Trump so-called lost the election, and then they decide, let's impeach him after the election was certified. Why would you do that? See, this shows how diabolical they are. If you just defeated the giant, and you're trying to heal wounds and mend our country back together, half of the country, really over half, that voted for Trump, you would do that by saying, okay, we won, but we're still going to go ahead and stomp him. We know he's out of office, but we want this dude destroyed. We don't want him to ever be able to run again. We don't want the chance of him resurfacing. So this is how diabolical they are. Even if you are not guilty, they break you. Even if you was just a bystander. Drag him into, make him have to defend himself in court, drain his pockets, demonize his thing on influence. Yeah, if you are a personality that's popular, demonize that. Tell companies if you support him, you're supporting a terrorist. These are the dirty tactics of these Marxists, these fascists, these communists. They're no better. They're no better than Chi. They're no better than Kim. They're no better than any of these people. They just know how to hide it better and use the media to make them seem like they're good people. All right, but there's more. Here's Trump again. And he's talking about something else these raggedy Democrats / rhinos are responsible for.
Real quick, Mr. President, before you go, you got to address the crime spike. You were a New Yorker. Now you're a Florida resident. How do you feel when you see murder at 25-year highs and you see these smash and grabs and what America looks like today because of the crime spike? What do you want to do? How would you change this? If you were in charge, how would you change this and reverse this crime spike?
Well, for one thing, the radical left district attorneys and attorney generals, they spend more time trying to figure out how to get Trump. I've been under investigation for years. They just keep investigating. They go back years and years. There's supposed to be a statute of limitations. It's a disgrace. They devote 25, 30, 40% of their department to let's get Trump instead of let's get the murderers, the killers, the drug dealers. It's a disgrace what's going on in New York and other places.
Well, Trump has been great, man. He's great. I can see why they don't want this man to run again. That is a non-politician's answer right there. That man just straight came out, well, first of all, they need to stop chasing me around. I mean, here they are. If their voters are so dumb to where they don't realize, wait, these dudes got an office, and we got all these problems going on around the world. Trump's not the president, but they're dedicating all their time trying to destroy him and all his voters. Are they really concerned about us? Do these folks really care? This in neighborhoods where all this violence is taking place about J6. You think all those kids and parents that lose their kids over the weekend in Chicago and St. Louis and D.C. and Virginia and all these places, do you think they're sitting back going, we got to get to the bottom of that J6 controversy. We want to know about Trump's taxes. No, they don't want to know about that. Y'all do. Those Democrats want to use that mess because Trump is a danger to them. Candid speaking like this is what exposes these rhinos and also destroys these Democrats. They can't handle that mess. They're like, yo, man, we need folks that will get in here like Lindsey Graham, Mitch McConnell, and play ball. That's what we need. All right, I got a caller. I'm going to take this call real quick, and then we're going to continue exposing these rhinos. We're going rhino hunting, y'all. Here we go. Let's see if I can get this thing to switch on over here. Okay, no, wait a minute. Okay, there we go. All right, it's working. Caller, you're on the line with Kevin from Kevin's Corner. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, Kevin, it's Sonia. Can you hear me?
I sure can. What's happening?
You just said that you wanted to catch a rhino, and I was reminded of Steve Turley, Turley Talks. He actually put together a website, and it's actually called just that, reportarhino.com.
Y'all hear that? Reportarhino.com. If you see one of them nasty things running around your neighborhood, don't you go approaching it yourself. You go ahead and report that mess. Yeah, I'm in my house. I see a nasty rhino and just walk past. Could someone come and get him? That's what you do. So what's going on, man? How you feel?
Well, my jaw's still on the floor because apparently it's Crack History Month.
Yeah, Crack History? Yeah, I heard about that. So what you think about that? You going to be happy when Joe Biden sends your pipe? That's what I want to know.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I'm just stunned, really. what can one say about it? Let me try. It seems, well, first of all, right, the timing is odd. And you know that in New York they're already implementing, well, that has to do with the mayor, the shooting galleries so people can, you know, I guess shoot heroin in a facility. And they were going to have staff on board to supervise them getting high. And the first thing that came to me was how they were firing the nurses from the hospitals for not getting the jab. And the irony of that. And then the quote that I saw when that article came up about the crack pipe, it just threw me. It says, Handing out pipes is also intended to prompt users to smoke rather than inject themselves with substances like meth, as injection is far riskier. And all I'm thinking is how the jab has been risky for many people and has caused them harm, too.
Woo-wee! Now, that right there ain't no stinking thinking. That's brilliant thinking. You're dead on. So, earlier in my show, I was talking about exploring motive and stopping and asking oneself, like, okay, are they doing this because they really want to make sure folks take drugs more carefully, or, you know, are they doing this really because they're trying to address, you know, equality and racial issues and mess, all the excuses they're using, you know.
Oh, I totally forgot about that, the racial equity that they threw in there. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. So what do you think, just thinking off cuff, what do you think this is being done for? Why would one even give money if this happened?
I want to believe that maybe the people in the lower ranks think it's for the good, because you know how they want to respect all people and their choices and all that, except when it comes to the job, obviously. They don't seem to make that connection. But when I have posted this on my Instagram page, somebody told me that the left would say that this is all part of a harm reduction policy. And what I thought about that, if they had brought that to my attention. And when you look up a website, there's a website that's the National Harm Reduction Coalition. And what their strategy is that they respect the rights of all people, including those who use drugs and their choices and treating them like a human being and all of that. Blah, blah, blah. Sounds really good. My issue is that if you want to get high, that is your right. That is your choice. I totally agree with that. But I don't understand why the government has to facilitate it.
Right. Well, to demoralize folks, you know, if you even put it in a biblical perspective, pharmacia basically is a form of manipulating and altering people's minds so they can't think right, they can't function right, they become completely codependent on things that the government almost facilitates. You're not thinking about the betterment of your neighborhood. If you ever see somebody who's on a drug, that drug is everything. Everything revolves around that. You can control people based on whether you supply that need or not. And once you start opening up the door to alter people's mind, their thinking, you've seen what people would do to their own family members to get crack. So you believe that if the government is helping them out with all of this mess, then they become that supplier. They might as well just become drug dealers at this point. But
Exactly. And then they'll say things like, well, people are going to do what they want anyway. But my thing is, do you remember there was a show called Intervention? And in general, when you try to, you know, intervene when you have somebody in your life that is on drugs, you would give them an ultimatum, some tough love, and basically you cut them off because you're not going to enable them. They can continue to get high if they want to, but not with your help. But now the people in charge are in effect becoming enablers, right, for the masses of addicts. And I'm trying to figure out how that's good for society. Because, yeah, it's like saying, well, you know your teenage kids are going to have sex anyway, but you don't prepare the bed.
Yeah. See, there you go. You ain't going to do it on my watch. Don't be bringing that mess up in my crib.
Not in my house.
Yeah. These folks have a different motive. Now, and you mentioned something. Folks on the lower level, the ground level at these facilities probably are like, well, I'd rather, you know, like the old school parent would say, I'd rather see my kids try their first drink with me, or they'd be out in the street or smoke a cigarette with me. But
yeah, I think those people on that level totally think that this is really about equity and helping and the goody, you know, the goodwill, whatever. It's the people on top that are trying to. Mm-hmm.
Yep. When you go up that ladder, the brainchild behind all of this, there's some evil, diabolical, small group of folks who say, you know, what's our next phase in destroying and breaking down our culture and our country? Mm-hmm. How about we go ahead and make it easier for folks to be brain dead and drugged up constantly? They'll be less resistant. They won't be focused on the stuff that we're doing. They'll be easier.
And the thing is that they already know what's going on in Seattle. We already know what's happening in Portland. California is also another mess, specifically San Francisco. So those policies of letting people get high and do it out in the open don't work.
It doesn't. And I'm going to be talking about that at the end of the show, because what really burns me up about this, and it's crazy because I don't think Facebook is letting one of the screenshots that I took about that on my other Facebook page where all the brothers are over there. I don't think they're letting that be shared because, of course, you know, that screenshot is highlighting the fact that these folks are targeting minorities. They're targeting all of these folks that they claim they're trying to help. They're saying they're helping us by sticking places in our neighborhoods to allow us to take crack. Now, you got to be a special kind of dumb to be a black person or any minority to say, well, yeah, that sounds good. I think that'll better us. See, and
well,
so,
yeah, that was the kicker, the racial equity, to throw that in there. Like, if that's balancing some sort of playing field,
right.
I can't think of a bigger insult.
Right. I don't even know who wrote that. I'm thinking, why would y'all even put that out there? That is, if you want to offend a lot of black folks and minorities, say, yeah, we're sticking crack pipes in your faces and help you out because that's going to solve racism. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Hey, Sonya.
Yeah, he might as well have said, Biden, if you don't smoke crack.
Right.
You know the rest.
Yeah, you know the rest. So now I want to know where we're going to do our tag team show. That's what I want to know. And the people want to know.
Oh, that's good. Okay, well, let's try to do it soon. Soon. I have to do ScreenYard, right? That's what you said?
That's right, ScreenYard.
Dream Yard.
Yep.
That's it. Okay.
So,
all right, yeah, let's do it. I got a lot to say. I might want to interview you instead.
Then do it. I ain't scared. Yeah. So,
you know,
out.
I would love to get a Democrat or a liberal or somebody, because we already know we agree. And I don't really want agreement. I'm not saying that wouldn't be fun because I need to vent. I'm just saying that I would love to talk to them, but it never seems to be possible because it's not even about debating. I just want to know what they think and why they think what they think. And
so
how they, you know, if they still support this president and everything that's going on. I'm so curious. I don't think they make.
How would y'all like to see me and Sonya? And bring in two liberals, and we all have a dialogue online. Y'all can sit back and watch this dialogue and talk about these things. If y'all want to see that, let me know. Also, go and follow her channel. It is Sonya Scrapbook. Follow her channel, and this way, if y'all have notifications from her, if we put that together now, y'all got to come in. Because, I mean, hey, I ain't afraid to go to war with some of these folks. But I would really like that. That sounds good. I'd love to have a dialogue with them. And I think StreamYard might be able to do that. So let's talk offline, about that.
Thank you.
Okay?
All right. Have enjoy the rest of the show. I'll be listening. Take care. Bye.
Right, take care. Bye-bye. So y'all hear that? We might get into a nice little Donnybrook. Yeah, I ain't never had nobody on the show where they want to go to war with me. I really been licking my chops to get on MSNBC with Joy Reid or with Don Lemon. That's who I really want a piece of, but, you know, I might go too crazy on them. So now let's get down to the nitty gritty because some more stuff is happening, y'all. Y'all ready for this? Rhino season.
Republican turncoats Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger have been officially censored by the Republican National Committee, all as the sham January 6th committee is losing the support of the left. All right, the RNC now is making it clear that they're going to support her challenger in the primaries, which means that for all practical purposes, Liz Cheney is politically toast. She's gone. In fact, you may have seen that the Trump-endorsed challenger to Cheney just destroyed her in a recent straw poll where she only got 6 votes. Her challenger got 60. This is at the latest Wyoming Republican committee meeting. Oh,
somebody please. Go get me a big boot so I can kick their tails out of Congress. I want a huge novelty boot so I can put that boot up both of their butts and get them out of Congress. Why are they even there? They're going to go out so bad, which they already have. But what's even more precious about this, if the Republicans take back the Senate and the House, I hope to God, once we expose this next rhino, because he's the biggest rhino of all. But I hope to God they flip that J6 committee over and go after all of them who've abused these people, who've manipulated this stuff, who hid all those videos, who was responsible for coordinating this. I hope they go after them. But we can't go after them with this big rhino's nose in office and being the president or the speaker of the Senate. So here's Newsmax exposing the main rhino himself.
Oh, Mitch McConnell, huh? Not a swamp snake? Well, kind of that, but he's special, right? He looks like a turtle. We're going to call him the swamp turtle because guess what? He came out against Republicans who condemned Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, which is pretty much everybody, all right?
That's what you know he's a rhino. Number one, when this dude tried to have the best of both worlds after they so-called tried to impeach Trump, and he didn't vote to impeach Trump, but at the same time, who feel that Trump was responsible for it. Man up or shut up. Poop or get off that pot. Either you're going to vote against him, but don't try to have the best of both worlds. Don't be out there. Well, I still think he's guilty, and I condemn his behavior, but I'm not going to impeach him. That sounds dumb. What that dude was doing is trying to play politics. And the reason he's not mad at Liz Cheney and his other bum is because he knew what was going down. Mitch let that mess happen. He knew these Dems was going to cheat. He saw everything we saw. He saw that pandemic get dropped out of nowhere. He saw them starting to fiddle with all of the laws, the voting rights and stuff in these different liberal states. He saw all of these folks testifying, going, I was there, I swear, under penalty of law, I saw them do this, and they did that. He saw that. All of these folks, Lindsey Graham saw it, and it's kind of strange and odd that this dude would say, they're wrong for censoring these two people. He can't see the motive of these two. He can't see that these are two people that were trying to get Republicans brought in and subpoenaed and brought up on charges. Republicans. Mitch can't see that. You know why? Because Mitch is not on the radar. Mitch knew about this mess too. And if we get rid of him as the Speaker of the House and take back the Senate, brother, if we get rid of him and get somebody in there that's really trying to get to truth, Mitch just might find himself pop up on that radar. Because you can't tell me Mitch didn't know J6 was coming. You can't tell me Lindsey Graham didn't know that J6 was coming. It's miraculous that right after that, those rhinos go right back in and finish conducting business and straight up like, yeah, now we change our whole opinion. Let's go ahead and solidify this thing just based on limited details. Because heck, how would they know how bad it was if they were whisked away? I mean, they went right back to work, whisked away, came right back in, didn't get no details, didn't know about that big jolly green giant out there going, go into the Capitol. Didn't know about those cops waving folks in. Didn't know about any of that, but yet you get out there condemning stuff off grip because you probably had that condemned speech prepared. They got to go. Man, if we went back to Senate, they better not put no dang on Mitch McConnell in as a speaker.
Right. These guys have been terrible. They were censured by the RNC. Mitch McConnell had to weigh in and say, well, that wasn't a very good idea.
That was a very...
And then he went further. January 6th. I don't think he's gone this far before. This guy really, really should be on CNN full time.
We're here. We saw it happen. It was a violent insurrection.
It was violent insurrection. Do y'all hear that gobble turkey neck right there? So let's listen to this jive turkey. Y'all hear this man talking about, oh, we were here. No. So apparently, you weren't there because you were whisked away. So how about you, turkey neck, turtle head, huh, rhino man? How about you go back and watch all of that unseen footage that Nancy Pelosi's hiding instead of getting up there gobbling all over the mic? We were here. I don't want to hear that. How about you go and ask, hey, why aren't we able to see all these details? Why aren't y'all going to get... Why aren't y'all revealing all of this stuff that the people who voted for me are seeing? Why are these people locked up still? Why are they being overcharged? These are things that I need to know. Why ain't Mitch defending these people? Brandon Strzok was like, you know what hurts me the most? I haven't got contacted or supported by no Republican. Just left all of these people out there knowing they're being mistreated by the DOJ and the Biden administration. Left them out there to dry. And now you hear this turkey neck getting up to the...
We're here. We saw it happen. It was a violent insurrection for the purpose of trying to prevent the peace.
That's how I know he's a rant. Right there. That's when you start using words that the Democrats use. When you start supporting their narrative.
It was a violent insurrection that was designed.
Yeah, you hear that, Jeff Turkey? So let's finish hearing his definition of a violent insurrection.
Peaceful transfer of power after a legitimately certified election.
Every part of that statement was a lie. Every single part. Listen to that again so we can really dissect this.
For the purpose of trying to prevent
the peace of it. Right.
We're here. We saw what happened. It was a violent insurrection.
Wrong. Violent insurrection. No guns. No weapons. Nothing. Weren't planned except for those Antifa cats that was breaking down that door after Ray Epps said, go ahead and do it. But other than that, I didn't see no violence. I seen cops pretending that they were being roughed up. I seen folks playing tug of war on those little bike racks. I saw that. I saw cops pretending that they were being chased like that one fat cop, black dude that told them to stop at the door. And then they all said, okay, go ahead, go ahead, we'll wait. And then when he picked up his little stick, then they come running around the corner. Okay, come on, let's do it. You got the camera ready, right? I saw a lot of that. That's what I saw. But then listen to the rest of it.
For the purpose of trying to prevent the peaceful transfer of power.
That's what that was? Uh-huh. So you're telling me, Mitch, you think that was an insurrection. Maybe Mitch isn't that smart. Maybe he doesn't know what an insurrection looks like. It looks like what these Democrats have been doing, along probably with Mitch as well, which is being able to subvert our real republic to infiltrate the DOJ, FBI, CIA, NSA, and probably more, IRS, to be able to insert themselves politically into the CDC. That's an insurrection, to use the dang on military for their own little purposes and all of that stuff. That's an insurrection. To also allow our borders to be wide open as they bring in other voters to help them remain in power to the end of time. That's an insurrection. See, but yet you're telling me that ragtag team of people who probably didn't even know why they were in that building was an insurrection to stop y'all from voting. Once they got to you, Mitch, what were they going to do? You're telling me they were going to come in. All right, we're here now. So don't vote. Y'all better not confirm it. Because we said so. And yeah, this is where all you got to do is ask this turkey neck dude, what were they going to do when they got to you? How were they going to stop it? That's what I want to know, Mitch. Were they just going to rough you up, take you hostage? Huh? How long you think that would last while they're trying to hold you hostage with cell phones and MAGA hats before the FBI and all kind of other special forces come in and kill them all? That's what I want to know, dummy. Get him out of here.
After a legitimately certified
election. See, that's the problem. When he says stuff like that, I'm going, Rhino, how could you fix your lips to say that, Mitch? All the rules, all of the procedures violated, all those dead voters, all of that boarding up of windows, all of those testimonies that were suppressed on the internet, all of that, right? It was certified. Oh, you wanted it certified, Mitch, because you wanted Trump gone. You big old nice guy. Let's continue.
Election. None of that's true. Not an insurrection. None of that's true. No. And you know what? This is true, Mitch McConnell. You've been there for 40-something years, and you've done very little, if anything at all. Our immigration crisis continues. It's worse than ever. In fact, it is an invasion. An invasion. Yes, it is. We'll have proof of that, or at least certification of that in just a moment.
Be very quiet. We're hunting rhinos. Get them,
Newsmax.
But when Donald Trump came out and said it was an invasion, people like you got scared, got nervous, and ran away.
I declared a national emergency, which is what it is. This is an invasion. When you see these caravans starting out with 20,000 people,
20 grand.
That's an invasion.
Rule number one of the swamp, don't say anything that everybody understands to be true. They have no intention of fixing it.
There you go. That's why Mitch is a rhino. That's why Trump is the goat. See, we got goats and we got rhinos. So Trump is the GOAT because he's able to get up there and call a spade a spade. That's an invasion. Jim Acosta, that, but Mr. President, why you keep calling it an invasion? Because it is. Well, but they're just people coming. You keep calling it an invasion. Man, I mean, it's Jim. You saw the video like all of us, them sitting up on that wall. They weren't actors, Jim. They were sitting up there on that wall. Thousands. Caravan huge. So let me get this straight. One of the tactics of the left. You got darn man chicken up there in Canada saying that all of those thousands of people there was a small fringe group of people. Wasn't that many of them? But yet you saw a sea of these people. Then you see thousands of folks coming this way, and our crappy media says it's not even that many. Isn't that crazy? And I'm saying, you're telling me my eyes don't see what they're seeing? You're telling me, well, as far as I can see, people, just thousands of them walking this way with signs and with, yeah, we're coming. We're going to bust all out. I wish he would stop us. You're telling me I didn't see none of that. And yet Trump calls it out.
All right. So when he said words like that, everybody got really mad.
Let's be honest. This wasn't an invasion, okay? It was frustrated asylum seekers at the border.
That's not an invasion at all or by any definition.
This is not an invasion. These are people seeking a better life.
It isn't an invasion. Thousands of people come to U.S. borders every year. It's not an invasion.
So thousands of people come to U.S. border every year, and then the U.S. just lets them in and flies them around the country during a so-called pandemic. That's what you're telling me, man on CNN? You're telling me? Thousands of people come to our border every year rocking Joe Biden shirts, we're coming, and just muscle them way their way right on across that border. So, man on CNN, whoever you are in this clip, let me just ask you, what if all of those thousands of people that come to our border a year were Cubans? Would he say, well, this is not a strange thing at all, man. I mean, shoot. What if they were Russians? What if they were Arabs? What if they were all Chinese? North Koreans. I guarantee you, you'd be going, secure that border. But yet, these are all low-skilled workers who are going to come into the country, lay low, get a job for cheap labor, and also probably vote for you guys as you guys abolish having to supply and provide an ID to vote. They're so evil.
Things have taken a turn for the worse, haven't they, huh?
Yes, they have.
Now, the Attorney General of Arizona has written an official opinion, and they're classifying it an invasion, the violence and lawlessness at the border caused by transnational cartels and gangs satisfies the definition of an invasion. They go on to say the federal government has a duty to protect Arizona under the invasion clause. And also this, Arizona retains the independent authority under the state self-defense clause to defend itself, actually invaded. And that's happening. And Joe Biden obviously does not take his responsibilities very seriously, even though they're pretty cut and dried.
Yeah, he don't take those things seriously. Yeah, he takes his responsibility to his globalists very seriously. He takes his responsibility to Xi, who gave him that $1.5 billion. Yeah, he takes all of those things seriously, but he don't take our safety seriously. No, he don't take the Constitution seriously. He don't take protecting citizens seriously. So now we just heard the dude from Newsmax rip off the responsibility of the federal government, including the president. What are you there for? You're president for nothing. If you can't do the number one thing that you're supposed to do, which is keep the homeland safe, you're president for nothing. You're telling me you can get up here and face us and tell us, yeah, I'm keeping everyone safe here, and you can't even keep the border secure under guidelines of you making up some humanitarian style. Kids being written and they're coming alone and coming for a better life. Get this dude out of there now, like now. And this man right here, here's Joe. This is what he swore to do, y'all. Okay, this is our fierce leader when he was lying to us and with his hand on the Bible, too.
Will, to the best of my ability,
preserve, protect, and defend.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution! Yeah, that guy right there. Hold up. Oh, now I want to do an update right in the middle of my show with YouTube. Yeah, y'all hear Joe up there talking about something, the Constitution of the United States? You know they were scared to death when they had that dude repeating after him. They're like, oh, God, if we can just get him through, repeating after us.
Constitution of the United States.
So help you, God.
How about that? Did you hear that? He swore to protect the Constitution of the United States. And in that Constitution, Arizona just referred to this, it says as follows. The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a Republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion.
Is he doing that? Is he doing
that's
that?
Not happening. We see it all every day at the border, at bus depots, also lately at airports in the middle of the night. Migrants.
So that sounds like an invasion to me. If Russians came in and they were on our buses and airplanes and carports and all of that, staying in our hotels illegally, we would call that a what? An invasion. If a whole bunch of Arab radical terrorists came over here, if Al-Qaeda rolled up in this bad boy and did the same thing, we'd call that an invasion. But folks to come to vote for Democrats, that's not an invasion. That's them coming for our better life. Even if we would have folks that would come here and didn't vote for Democrats, had no evil intention, they would call that an invasion then. Yeah. See, if all of those Cubans start coming up there through Mexico, that's an invasion. Shut that mess down. If we go down near to that border and start registering all of these illegal immigrants coming in here for our better life to vote for Republicans, watch Nasty with those monkey paws go down there and start building that wall. She would be like, throw that wall up so quick. Her, Turtleneck Mitch, all of them. They would be down there building that wall. That wig, no. If you see anybody come across this border from another country, you tell them they're not welcome. You would see that take place immediately.
Illegal migrants come. I believe that this is impeachable. These are impeachable offenses. Joe Biden is not living up to his...
I like when you talk dirty like that. You're talking my language, man. It's impeachable offense, and it is. So, Greg Kelly, finish telling us about this impeachable offense.
Solemn promise to protect the borders is also ruining the country from within. This is astounding. This is really happening, though. Crack pipes, smoking kits will be made available to people across the country, especially in the most beleaguered communities. Take a look at this headline, please. Biden administration to fund crack pipe distribution to advance racial equity. It's a disgrace. $30 million program will provide smoking kits to vulnerable communities, smoking kits including crack pipes. It reads further, if you don't mind, purchase equipment and supplies, enhance harm reduction efforts such as safe smoking kits and supplies. The priority populations for this program are underserved communities. What communities are those? Black, Latino, Indigenous, Native American persons.
Y'all, hold on. I need a Michael Jackson break.
Hold me like the river Jordan, and I will then say to thee that you are my friend. Carry me like you are my brother. Hold me like a mother.
I need a break, y'all.
Will you be there?
Home. I need somebody to hold me right now. After hearing this garbage, y'all. So let me understand. Somebody in his administration thought it would be wise to write that. I mean, you couldn't just leave all of that out. You basically just confessed that the way you see minorities is drug-infested, yeah. And by you not being able to have your crack pipes is some type of racial injustice against you. I wonder how all those black parents in those neighborhoods would feel when they're trying to get their kid off of drugs and you got the Biden administration supplying it. Come on in here. You can smoke it in here. We'll keep an eye on you while you're doing it. Well, my mom told me she was hoping I can get off of it, but since you guys are making it convenient, why not? You know what? I love free will. But then there's those times where I wish I had, like, you know, some type of superhero power. I can just control minds that are dumb. I can just say, dude, you don't see what they're doing to you. If you go out and vote for them, I can't allow that. I can't allow that. Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable.
Newsflash. There's not a shortage of crack cocaine for the most part in those communities. Hunter Biden, can't you grab a hold of your father and let him know the nightmare that you went through? Or I don't know, maybe you're not recovered. I hope you are, by the way. I really do.
He's like, fool me?
But this is dangerous
I'm good
stuff.
Now. I'm good.
We already know he's blowing it at the border. You're doing your thing overseas. Yeah. This is corrupting us from within. At one point, your father certainly knew better.
He did.
This is back in the 1990s. And Hunter, someone online had took some liberties with his speech and your hopefully previous habit.
A piece of crack cocaine.
Joe, what's a piece of crack?
No bigger than this quarter.
And on the other side of this clip is Hunter smoking crack. So we got one man telling us folks need to go to jail for crack for 5 years. And then on the other side, his son is smoking crack. Isn't that crazy how Hunter managed to beat those charges? Isn't that crazy how Joe's talking about severe punishments for crack cocaine and gun laws and restrictions, and then his son gets caught with a gun violation, and nothing happened to him? Let's finish hearing about this crack and the punishment for it.
That I'm holding in my hand.
Tell him, Joe.
$0.25. We passed a law through the leadership of Senator Thurman and myself and others. A law that says you're caught with that, you go to jail.
Don't go past
for 5 years.
Five, y'all.
You get no probation. You get nothing other than 5 years in jail.
That's all you get.
Judge doesn't have a choice.
Y'all hear that?
Automatic jail time. Wow, where have we come? That man, his administration, now advocating for crack pipe distribution to advance racial equity. This is insane.
That man done fell from grace. He done fell off that wagon and broke his hip, his back, shoulders. That dude needs a body cast. So here he is up here talking about how reckless crack smoking was then and a severe punishment. Now, these same Democrats, years ago, leaving all those trails of how tough they are on crime and all this, it's crazy how they get revelations later on when things change. Now all of a sudden I'm okay with all of this stuff. Talking tough on how leaving Afghanistan would be crazy. Yeah, all of that. And what would happen with those people who got our weapons. He was talking crazy about that before. Now all of a sudden, that's a great job. I woke up this morning and decided we were leaving. Uh-huh. But let's finish hearing Newsmax destroy this bum.
This is what the mainstream media wanted. This is what big tech wanted. This guy, these kinds of policies. Where did this really come from? Why did they do so much to help Joe Biden and hurt Donald Trump? We'll get to that in the next block. I think it was jealousy.
Jealousy.
Feeling or showing an unhappy or angry desire to have what someone else has. Think about it.
Could be.
Donald Trump goes into politics late in life. He's 69 years old. Paul Ryan went in when he was 29 years old. He wins on his first time out and becomes president. Guess what? That really rankles career politicians. It messes with their mind. They can't stand it. Paul Ryan is one. Mitch McConnell is another.
Right.
He's been in politics since he was in his 30s. All he knows how to do is make promises and raise money and do weird things on Capitol Hill, not fulfill anything, not
have a turkey neck.
Many deadlines, just ghosts. Who's this? Oh, Chris Christie, the worst. You think he admires Donald Trump? He resents him. And we all saw Nancy Pelosi. We know how she feels. It's interesting. Sometimes you think they're doing this on the merits. No. So much of politics is personal. Unfortunately, we're the casualties. Their personal resentment of him, it seems like they hate him more than they love the country.
Woo-wee.
And that's a real shame for all of us.
Greg Kelly, man, you dead on with that one. See, when Nancy Pelosi, it leaks out. You cannot hide that type of evil in you. You can't hide that type of green-eyed devil. for long. We knew Nancy Pelosi hated Trump. When she had the nerve to be talking about Trump, and when they said, do you hate the president? She turned around and got mad. Listen, first of all, let me tell you something. I don't hate the president. I don't hate anyone. I'm a Catholic, and I pray for the president every day. If you really believed that she was praying for the president every day when she was up there when he did his speech and she's behind him like this, when she ripped up his speech in front of everyone, you think that showing that she respects the president and prays for the president every day? Yeah, you probably did. To Satan, for him to be impeached, please, Satan, get rid of this dude who's messing up my situation. So all of those folks that he just mentioned, yeah, but it goes further than just jealousy. Trump came in, he showed them up, he embarrassed them, he exposed them, and he also stood right in the way of their diabolical evil agenda when they didn't expect it to be interrupted. They thought it was smooth sailing. They was loving it. Yo, Trump won the nominee. Yes. Thank you, CNN and MSNBC, for helping us put the person up against Hillary that we assume would never win. That's why he got all that free coverage, all those rallies covered, all of that. Yeah. Keep that. Pump him up. They tried to make this an unequal boxing match. That's what they did. They tried to hit us with the Rocky and the Mick. Look, kid, I've been fixing fights for you because you're not a killer anymore. So, yeah, they stuck Trump in there thinking Trump was going to get knocked out, and he beat the mess out of her and held up their evil, diabolical agenda. He exposed the fact that they ain't really trying to get things solved. He showed us all that, wait a minute, it doesn't take all day to get these things done. Wait a minute. We can demand more out of all of these folks that we just shoveling money out to. All of the things they can't do or said couldn't be done or took forever to do, Trump came in and blew that mess up, created a higher level of awareness and expectation out of the voters that they have for their politicians. And he also exposed the darn rhinos. And so all of them, like Mitch and all of them, who's getting away for year after year doing the minimum. Just the minimum of work. Couple bills here passed and this and that, and then take it easy. Rest of that is just fussing with each other instead of getting things done. Now, before we get out of here, we about to hear from my brother, y'all. Yeah. I forget where he's from, but this black man right here, since they trying to sell, give crack to all of us and stuff, he's a black man that's in Congress. His name is Dale A.C. somebody. I'll find his name. But he's in Congress, and guess what he had the nerve to do, y'all? He had the nerve to try to join the Black Caucus. Let's see what happened.
Mr. Speaker, today is the third day of Black History Month. Mm. And in this year, we as a people have made significant strides by representing more people and more communities than ever before.
Okay.
I'm proud to say that I've contributed to these strides by becoming the first black delegate of the 91st District and the only African-American to represent Pocosin as a legislator.
Right, that's good, right? That's good, right?
I started my interest in politics after high school when I worked as a field manager on the campaign to elect our nation's first black president.
Cardoza. You're right. This is Cardoza. All right. It's Dale A.C. Cardoza. Oh, he's in Hampton. All right. Republican. Okay, let's see what he's talking about, because he's talking about in high school he was working on campaigns and stuff. I wonder who he was working on.
Barack Obama. After that.
Listen, get him. He's setting them up. You hear all those liberals in there? Woo! Yeah, see, he gets it. But he's about to give them that 1-2.
After that, in college, a professor asked me why I was a Democrat. My first response was, I'm black. And
that's a lot of people's responses. And that's a damn shame that that's how it is. Okay, when people ask you why you're Democrat and you say because of your skin color, that's a problem, right? That's a huge problem.
That's a major problem.
No other group of people does that logic ever apply to, right? No, nobody ever says that about Asians, about Hispanics, about white folks. It's only a black thing, okay?
I don't get that, guy. Why is it only a black thing? So let's see what he got to say for the rest of this. Here we go.
I, as many African-Americans would, chose a more conservative ideology. My professor then said, congratulations, you're a Republican.
Oh, that professor should be tenured, right? Whoever that guy is, okay, he deserves a raise, okay? Because that is basically how college is supposed to work, right? You're supposed to open up people's minds to other ideas.
But you know what? See, nowadays, they don't want you doing that. They want you falling right in line. So let's see what else this black man had to say about this. Because, see, a lot of black people don't realize that. I was messing around with y'all the other day when I was saying, you know, if they go door to door and ask all of these minorities how they feel about these little pet projects, you know, they would be like, what? You're asking me how I feel about young men getting in their races with young women? Are you crazy? You're asking me about these things. They don't bring these things up to minorities because they know minorities are more conservative than they think. They only bring up the things that will make them mad and distract them from all those other stupid things that they want to do. So they'll just bring up stuff like racism, stuff like that. So here we go.
Different ideologies and allow him to quote-unquote blackness.
Uh-oh. So what happened?
Open this guy's mind up to different opinions, right, and different ideologies.
So let's see what happened.
Once my eyes were open, I was able to see that what I had been taught was not true.
Oh.
Soon after, when I told my peers that they questioned my quote-unquote blackness.
What? Happens way too often.
Yet I was the same person that I was the day before.
What? I bet you right now when he start talking about that, they were probably like hitting that red button like abort, abort. Somebody go out there, give him the double axe handle and knock that dude out. Don't let him finish his speech. Somebody go out there and hit him with the Bob Backlund chicken wing. Somebody go get Jimmy the Superfly Snucker, put him on the turnbuckles, and make him jump on that dude to stop him. Somebody go out there and get Iron Mike Shark with that brace on his arm to clothesline his dude. Somebody go out there and get the British Bulldogs to do this and get out there and give that dude the hammer. Don't let him finish that speech, man. So now here he is talking about how black folks question his blackness. Same person. Killed me, y'all. When I went viral and started telling about, yeah, man, I'm voting for Trump. It was like they just forgot I was black. They forgot the real Kev. They're like, man, this dude, I don't know why. He must have lost his mind, man. I don't know what's going on there. What? Are you kidding? But hey. Let's continue.
Not according to the liberals.
The difference was that my political opinions had changed. When I came to this assembly, I expected to be welcomed with open arms by my brothers and sisters in the legislative black caucus.
It's a black caucus.
Instead, I was rejected by a vote. While I'm sure a few of my brothers and sisters voted for me to join them, the majority did not.
Why?
I wonder why.
This was disheartening, but not shocking. The questionnaire for entry had little to do with being black and had more to do with being leftist. The first question asked if I support or oppose using public school dollars to support private school initiatives. Basically, am I for school choice? Then later, the form asked what my top three environmental justice priorities were.
Now, you know what's crazy about this here? One, none of those questions have anything to do with whether you're black or not. It sounds to me, though, that those are political questions that meet the ideology and the plans and goals of the Democrat Party, which ain't got nothing to do with your blackness. And if you really are honest, their policies are anti-black, just like the crack pipes that they want to shove down our throats.
Mm-hmm.
Their policies belittle blacks. Their policies enable blacks. They provide outlets for black folks to make excuses and be sorry. Yeah. And so now this man is asked the question about school choice. Why wouldn't black folks want that? I mean, do they want to go back to segregation? Do they want to be forced to go to certain schools? Because all they've done, these Democrats have updated school segregation by saying, oh, it's not about your race. It's about your socioeconomic status. Therefore, since you live in a more poor district, you can't be going out there to other places to go to school. You got to stay there. It's your schools are raggedy based off of, you know, the money, the tax codes. So, I mean, you can't get them little notebooks and the big screens and the No, yeah, I'm sorry. Smaller budget. Well, can I go to one of those nice schools? No. You need to stay your tail right there. But it's not because you're black. It's because you happen to live around a whole bunch of other black people, and all of you don't have a lot of money. So therefore, yeah. But if you work your way up, you might one day be able to go to a decent school.
Towards the end, it asked if I opposed any item on the agenda.
Oh.
So I went to look it up, and here are some of the highlights.
Oh, shoot. I like highlights.
Reform the recall process to end harassment.
What is that?
That suggests that the voters' rights to recall elected officials who are not doing the job to the satisfaction of the people who sent them there is a form of abuse or harassment.
Oh.
Repeal sovereign immunity.
What?
Which will result in our police force diminishing. Protecting workers by protecting collective bargaining rights.
Now, these are black folks. This is a black caucus, all right? So, yeah, you want to roll back police officers and you call yourself protecting black folks, right? No wonder they don't want this brother in there. No wonder they handpick black folks just like the media does. Joy Reid, Don Lemon, don't you be getting on that show up here. Got the nerve to be talking out against our motives and our big diabolical scheme. You get out there and you tell those black people they're victims. You get out there and you tell them y'all better stay on butts in y'all places. You tell them, man, you know you can't stand in that line and wait to vote without no water being brought over to you. You crazy? You know you might die from heat exhaustion. You know you don't know how to get on those internets and go get yourself an ID. What's wrong with you? And you better vote for Joe Biden or you ain't black. And I'm black. And I'm telling you, vote for him or you ain't black. Unbelievable.
Basically turning our state into a union state with union bosses, a state where workers won't have the choice but to be in a union.
Mm-hmm.
Protect measures to help mitigate COVID-19 impact.
What does that mean?
Impacts. Basically preserving mask mandates. Protect abortion.
Now, where's the black caucus in regards to all of those black people, 80% of them, when they first start forcing the jab up there in New York? All those black people who was mad, talking about this a bunch of bull crap. Get yourself out of here. You can't come in this restaurant, you black lady. I mean, I didn't want it to come out like that, but I'm just saying, you happen to be black. And unless you get that shot, you're not coming in here, you black lady. Just not vaccinated, though. But you're not coming in here. No black caucus there. They weren't coming out talking, but this is an atrocity. Where was Al Sharpton? Where was Jesse? Where were all of them? They were nowhere. Because their real overlords who empowered them and anointed them to be overseers of the black community told them, you shut your mouth. Don't you listen to these black folks saying, I don't want to be forced to take that mess. Stay silent.
Coverage in the health exchange. That one's pretty clear.
Hmm.
Protect Virginia's transition to 100% clean energy and clean air standards.
Green New Deal.
I asked myself what any of those things mentioned have to do with being black.
Good question, black man.
Nothing. Nothing.
Nothing.
The answer is it has nothing to do with being black.
Bam.
It's about being leftist.
Facts. That's all it's about. Again, if you ain't a leftist, you ain't black. Okay? It's very simple.
And that means that the caucus is not about being black. It's about being left. Yesterday, one
it's
of my...
called the black caucus, though, right? That means it's about black folks.